Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday. We're stealing beer. I am a Huggy Carton. You can't be wasted already.
I'm not wasted.
You sound wasted.
He's been drinking
Brian
since
Cass.
7 this morning.
Brian Cass drinking bloodies. So, of course, it's not really 5 on Monday. It's 10 on Saturday. We're in Boston. I'm sitting, I got Justin on my right. I got Ben Keen sitting in for Mr. Hall. Hello,
hey,
Ben Keen. And we have Lee McComb of Half Acre. In Chicago.
Reading
I didn't want to say it wrong. All right, thanks for joining us, Lee. We're in a hotel room. We're in Boston for Extreme Beer Fest, which gets some cool ass brewers to come around. Now, Half Acre, do you guys think you're a cool ass brewer? Do you?
I mean, that's a pretty tough question to.
We talked about this last night. So for the thieves at home, one of my favorite pale ales is your Daisy Cutter. It's absolutely one of my favorite beers. It's how I like beer to taste. I think it's a lot like Tired Hands, Hop Hands, or whatever. I think it's of the school of beer my boat beer is. I think we all kind of were doing something
totally.
seven years ago, and it's just the way I like beers to taste. So it's one of my favorites. Also, I have a very best friend I grew up with who lives in Chicago now, so I've been going out there for a while, so I know it. So to me, it's a very special beer and a very unique beer and a very special brewery and a very unique brewery, but I don't know what it is to everybody else, I guess, is what I'm saying. You're obviously here, so people know who you guys are. But to me, you're just that great pale I get when I'm in Chicago. Does that make sense?
Totally, yeah. And I think that's that's something that really Daisy Cutter has basically kind of like built our brewery.
Yeah, is that right?
I think especially too, like there was a time in brewing too, where I think we started 10 years ago, and when we started, there was no one going out and doing only one-offs, no flagship beers. Like that was basically just like commercial suicide.
Right. Yeah, still
so
is.
So for us.
Ask other half, they're totally failing as well.
So I think for us, it was kind of like, the first time that we brewed Daisy Cutter, it was just like a light bulb popped on. And we're like, this beer's fabulous. This is kind of what we want to like get behind.
Planted its flag on your ship.
Yeah, it was just kind of like happen. I don't think that we intentionally were going out to be like, great, we need a flagship beer. But it just kind of took off. Everybody loved it. We loved it, and we just could never make enough of it.
Yeah, no, you can't, because when you do, I get some and I drink the fuck out of that beer. You guys sent us a Sixtel. If you go back on your Facebook history to like 4 or 5 years ago, you'll find drunk Augie all over your Facebook because you guys mailed me a Sixtel. It was like
two days old. Can I eat some beer?
I put it on the brewer's tap in the brew house, started drinking. I was like, fucking, I love this beer. And then that Sixtel finished that night with me and two brewers. Like we literally drank a Sixtel of that beer between two of us over like 8 hours. And every like hour I'd check back in, can't stop drinking it. We're in a lot of trouble here. Send help. So that'll be fun. But yeah, it's a great beer. So let me ask you this. So one of the things I think it does that I think made it unique at the time and still unique, but more importantly back then, when I was conceiving Boat with my old brewing partner, Jesse, and my question was, why doesn't a commercial brewery do this? His answer was because hops are expensive. You can't charge a lot of money for a 4% beer. You can charge a lot of money for an 8% beer. Putting the amount of hops that you would put an 8% beer in a 4% beer is a stupid idea. And I countered that with, well, but we're home brewers, and who gives a fuck if we add 2 pounds instead of one to something we're just going to drink in the house? And that's how Boat happened. That's part of this episode.
Totally.
Daisy Cutter's that kind of thing, right? There's a fuck ton of hops in a little beer.
Was that
even considered around
the
house? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like at the time, I was told I was doing the dumbest thing in the world. You were doing the same thing. Was it so dumb? Like, how'd that happen?
I think that like... So Matt and Gabriel, our two owners, are like great businessmen, but also you know, they basically got into the industry because they hated their former jobs. And so, you know, there's kind of a part of them that's always like, well, we want to make sure that we're around in 10 years, but whatever.
Yeah,
just make whatever.
Make the right beer.
So it's kind of like, I think that the financials have never, you know, those are always going to be things that are going to be keeping you in business or putting you out of business. But really, like flavor is king,
yeah.
You know? And so like, if it takes, or if it tastes like 10 times better to use 10 times more hops,
then do it.
Great. If we make a very much slimmer margin than if we were to do a, you know, just a gulp. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
We were all doing it last night. We're all raspy. Embrace the rasp.
But yeah, I mean, if we were to do a golden ale, you know, it's, we're going to make a lot more money, but I think it just like, we're not going to be happy with the product.
Right, so
good. Not that, you know, there are plenty of great golden ales out there,
yeah.
But it's,
you heard it here first.
So. Golden ale is the worst. Yeah. You heard it. That's another flag plant.
I mean,
golden ale is horrible shit.
We also made a golden ale for a long time. It's actually one of my favorite beers of all time, but it's, you know,
it's never gonna. What is that beer called? I don't think I've had.
It's called Gossamer.
Gossamer.
It's it's kind of one of those things where it was a golden ale, but just like everything else that we do, it's like a hoppy golden ale. So it had a lot more of like
double dry hopped golden ale.
It was a dry hopped golden ale. You know,
did it have 2, 3, 8, 19? How many dry hops? We were making fun of double dry hopping in the Sam Caligione episode. That's the joke Ben's making.
Making fun of the fact of saying double.
Yeah, of calling something double dry hopped over. You know.
Just calling it dry hop.
Yeah, it's hoppy.
It's a beer.
We made it hoppy. You don't need to say no. Anyway, stop. Let's not beat that thing into the ground. But and Daisy Cutter. I think I don't want to discount it as not extreme, but we are here for the Extreme Beer Fest, and you guys are here because you also fuck around. You don't just make hoppy pails. Talk to me about Gin Pony, because it's one of my favorite beers. One, because when I'm at a wedding and there's nothing fucking good to drink, I'm a gin drinker.
Yeah.
Right? That's
totally
where I go, right? That's what you can depend on a shitty bar.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting. First of all, and I drink clear gins. I mean, I know some people would age them, but how do you guys find gin barrels? And then talk about how that all happened. You know what I mean? Like, where did the gin barrels come from? Why did you put a little Pilsner style beer? Like, get me to where that happened, because that's a cool ass beer.
I was actually just talking to Ben about it earlier. But so Matt Young, who's our head brewer, so he went to school in Kentucky, and one of his best friends is now a distiller at Corsair, which is a distillery out in Kentucky. And so they do a lot of weird kind of cracked out shit. They're doing some pretty intense, extreme, very like, you know, taking a lot from the beer industry and a lot from other industries and kind of trying to do these like non-orthodox whiskeys and spirits. But one of their spirits that they do is a barrel-aged gin. But I think that, you know, currently there are a lot of spirit producers that are doing like barrel-aged gin, but it's usually like whiskey-based.
Right.
So they'll take their bourbon or their, you know, rye or, you know, whatever kind of whiskey barrel and then throw their gin in it to age it and then, you know, maybe throw in some botanicals and then pull it out. I think the difference is that Corsair uses rum barrels. So these are going to be, you know, rum casks with like vanilla beans and all of the rum spices. They leave them in there, add in their botanicals, add their gin, and then age that. So I think it's like...
So you guys are using those barrels that have had rum and then gin and then...
Totally, yeah. Okay. And I think that, like, personally, I've tried, you know, gins before that have been aged in whiskey barrels. And I think there's always like kind of a harsh quality that I think there's something kind of just like conflicting between the whiskey and the gin. Well, I think there's this like really nice kind of sweetness, complexity that you get from like a rum cask.
So this guy gives you those barrels.
So yeah,
how does a Pilsner get in there? How did that happen?
I'm not 100% sure the history of, but so yeah.
But
so,
you know what I'm saying, right?
Like, Pilsner,
was probably just because we didn't
that's
have
what was coming out of the
else.
Tank that day.
And I mean, I think too, it's like, I think what we wanted is we wanted to, so like even like our golden ale at the time was like pretty hoppy. I mean, not that, I mean, Pony is actually quite hoppy too.
Pony is your Pilsner.
Pony is our Pilsner, correct.
In cans, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. But so I think that it was, you know, we were trying to basically just think about, so when Steve from Corsair, Matt Young's buddy, was like, hey, we've got these barrels, you should throw something in them. We were just trying to think, like, what is this even going to taste like?
Right.
You know, we didn't want to, like, risk it with one thing or another that was going to be, like, a big
clash. You
know, conflicting yeah. flavors. And so we were like, you know, I think it's a pretty basic, you know, base beer. Like, you'll be able to pick up whatever's in those barrels, and it hopefully shouldn't really clash.
It definitely works.
With the hot profile and pony.
It's a fun beer. All right, so... Let's before we move on to the black glass, remember Lee declared that Golden Ale was the worst thing in the world and has brought up Golden Ale three times since. So I'm confused.
I didn't think I actually had something against Golden Ale, but I guess I do.
Anyway, so we got lots of hidden.
Just remember, Ben said Lee said that. Anyway,
and I'm a journalist and I wouldn't lie. Right.
Never, yeah. ever. No fake beer.
Alternative facts. Right? Seal this beer.
Anyway, so what brings us together on Seal This Beer is a candid conversation about beer. We try to just, you know, get people that... We're trying to record that conversation that happens when the four of us sit in a bar and everybody thinks we're planning new ways to bourbon barrel shit. We're trying to capture what we actually do, which is pretty much drink pilsners and yeah. fucking get wasted. Anyway... To facilitate that, Ben and I are drinking blind. We're drinking out of black glasses. We have no idea what we're drinking. Lee brought it. Justin poured it. You know what we're drinking, right? So you don't get to play. Yeah. All right, so you're up, Keen. What do you got?
You know, it's always so sudden.
You know that
it comes out of nowhere.
You knew this was coming.
Watched you pour
don't
these.
Fuck it up, dude.
You knew this was coming. What do you got?
I smell Belgium. Yeah. If it's Saturday, this must be Belgium. Is that the
is that
Tuesday?
Right? I don't know.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. Sorry. It's fucking awesome.
Cass, three Bloody Marys in, declares from the soundboard off mic. It's fucking awesome. It is fucking awesome though. It's super tasty. It's got a neat Venice brightness to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Really
there's a really good like acidity thing to it. Without it doesn't taste like it was acidified. Right. I don't know that it was fermented that way. But it's got a nice angle of acidity to its profile. Feels real nice on the tongue. Like it's bright, it's quick. The hops aren't showing a ton. It's mostly a yeast driven beer. I think you're right. This is a good chicken beer. Right?
Cold like, fried chicken beer.
Not cold fried chicken.
No.
You're close. We'll get you there. But no.
Why are you always searching for something to go with chicken?
It's not. I just.
It's a thing on the show, Ben.
It's a joke on the show.
Like,
so
Hall told me I can't listen to this show because if I'm filling in for him,
yeah.
he doesn't you, listen.
Yeah,
so
you're method filling in.
Yeah.
good job, buddy. You're nailing it. But so when foodies get all douchey and they play the What Would Your Last Meal Be? Because I hang out with a lot of douchey foodies. They're always like, well, I would take Robichon's mashed potatoes. And I'm like, you know what? If it's really my last meal.
What's the pigeon you eat under the blanket?
Ortolan.
Yeah.
Ortolan. You put the napkin over your head so nobody sees what you're doing. It's so dirty. But anyway, my last meal, honest to God, would be good, cold, salty fried chicken, bottle of pink champagne, and some mac and cheese. That's the meal that makes me most happy.
Yeah.
And that would be my last meal. And it really is my favorite food. I know it's you know, I love eating. I love tasting. But if you're like, you only get to eat, you're, you know, desert island, give me a bucket of fried chicken legs. I'll be fine. So what I'm just fishing for, anything that's in the middle, a good table thing, I'm putting it with roasted or fried chicken. And it became a joke on the show because I think I went to it too often and people just wrote in, Augie, fried chicken, we know. So that's how that happened. But this would be a roasted chicken beer, not a fried chicken beer.
Okay.
It wouldn't play as well with salt is what that difference is to me. But no, I think this would be a fun, just, you know, like a board game night with six couples beer. Like it doesn't need the food. Like I think this would just be cool.
Yeah.
You know, just we need to drink something because you need to drink. And I think this would be a good, everybody in a group would like it. It's got enough prettiness to it, enough definition that it would excite people that don't think they like beer. But it's enough beer that it would make guys like us happy. I think this is a really good.
I like the word pretty to describe it. That's, I feel like that's very apt.
Totally.
God, it's kind of sweet.
You're taking the whole fun of you thinking I'm an idiot out of this.
There, at the end, it kind of goes a touch herbal for me, which is nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I
good
really,
job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, done. Well brought.
Yeah.
Well,
did you make this beer?
Not
well
at all.
Brought, Lee. Well, that's the rule. So I didn't really do my black glass spiel well, but for the thieves at home that are new, it can't be his beer, because if we hate it, we need to be able to say that.
Right.
I don't want anybody to have any vested interest in the beers we're drinking.
Me.
Wait, before you, well, I guess you can reveal, but what do you think of it? Did it do what you wanted it to do? Is it what you expected it to be? I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, I actually, so.
Have you had this before?
Yeah, I've had this
let's
beer.
Let's see what it is. Reveal it.
It's a Jolly Pumpkin BAM beer.
It's yeah. This is BAM?
Yeah.
Is
this
it is new? This is
this
much.
Must be vintage,
I like BAM a lot, but this is really brighter than most of the BAMs I've had.
And that's, I mean, I think that's part of what I love about BAM beer is, you know, I feel like every time I buy it, it's a little bit different. You know, I've had times where it's like super fresh and it's like surprisingly hoppy. I think I've had times where it's like 2 years old and it's got a really, really nice acidity to it.
Yeah.
I think that just like every single time that I picked it up, it might be slightly different, but yeah. It's always phenomenal.
This was bottled in September and it's currently February. So.
All right. So, but that, I think that's fresh for BAM for
yeah,
me
because sure.
It's really bright. Like it's super yeah, pretty is what we said.
Yeah.
And since Ben said that was a good word, I'm just going to say it all day because I like nothing better than making
it's,
BAM
I mean,
happen.
it's a very, very pretty
thanks
beer.
Thanks for bringing
I
mean, that.
I think this might be the first Jolly Pumpkin beer we've ever had on the show.
Which is such
no
a shame.
Yeah. I think it's true.
Is that right?
I think so.
Cass, is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
I think that they're one of those breweries that sometimes gets forgotten about. You know, especially in all this new kind of American wild sour craze. I think they're making some of the most balanced and almost perfect beers. And I think it's just like, they're also the types of beers that like, I buy one of those bottles and I don't share with anyone.
Right on.
I will drink the entire thing myself and wish I would have bought two.
And it's a proper bomber.
Sorry you had to split it with us.
Oh, today. No, don't worry. I actually bought two.
Well, drink it soon because this is drinking perfect.
Yeah, no, my wife
right
and I shared
this,
it
whatever
before I left
the, if
for
you
Boston.
Have BAM dated whatever the September bottling of 16 was, drink it tonight, man. It's perfect.
Right? It's fabulous.
But all right, so let's talking about what you were just talking about, because I finally had a really nice reassuring thing happen to me as a brewer with everything, because you know when you do this for a living, you have a lot of these conversations. You end up down a rabbit hole with people thinking about a lot. I've got a buddy who's 24 who's just come to craft beer drinking, and he lives in New York, so he's got everything in his. You know, at his disposal, and he's going to good craft bars and he's learning about craft and he knows I brew. So he, you know, we went out for a night of drinking because he's a good friend and that's what we're doing. But when he listed his three favorite beers at the moment, they were, and this is a 24-year-old guy living in the city, they were Maharaja, Nugget, and Flower Power. And I was like, that kind of reassured me that for all the trendiness, for all this mire we get in, for all we're doing, that.
Yeah.
Really well-made beers are still the important beers.
Stand the test of time.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if he goes down the rabbit hole we all did, even if he only drinks gin barrel-aged pilsners for 2 years now on, in his learning, moving away, coming to craft, three beers I respect the hell out of that informed the beers I make were his list of these are my three favorite beers. And I really liked hearing that.
Yeah. I think there's something, too, about just like Jolly Pumpkin, at least in Chicago, because I can pick that up whenever I want. You know,
we
I think,
can't.
I think there
does
are,
Jolly Pumpkin even come to Jersey, Cass? Yeah, no, so we can't. That's
oh,
not
it's a real
thing
shame.
We have.
And this is our first Jolly Pumpkin beer on the show.
Right on.
So, and actually, like, I had always passed up Jolly Pumpkin for years, and then we had Gene from Tired Hands out for a collaboration one time, and I was talking with him, and he was, like, you know, talking about his Saison production, and he was like, you know, if BAM beer was shipped to Philly, I would stop making Saisons. Because you know, they do such fabulous
Saisons.
Wait,
they don't get Jolly Pumpkin in Philly?
I don't think so. They might have changed.
So you should know the weird thing about Philly for those of us from this area is somehow they get a lot of stuff nobody else gets.
Totally. Yeah,
like
it's
Pliny
a test market.
So
I mean,
you
we,
know what I mean?
Yeah. We started
that's
distributing
why I'm
there.
Kind of
and
shocked that they might not
yeah,
have it.
Well, you guys actually use the same distributor we do in Philly, which is how I've gotten some of your beers that we don't get in New Jersey is when I send a truck out there, I'm like, bring home from fucking Jersey. But so send more. Make sure they always have it. Now that Ariglio's bought them, keep Ariglio full of at least one case of Daisy Cutter a month.
Definitely.
But so as you're walking around the floor, right? So you guys have been doing this for at least 3 or 4 years, right? How many EBFs have you done?
EBF?
Yeah.
I think this is our third year.
Right on. So right around the time we started coming. What do you think of the floor this year? What's on there that's popping out to you? What did you like drinking last night?
I mean, this is my first year to the fest.
Right on.
Personally, but I'm trying to think of, you know, I stopped by True last night, and I think I was just like blown away by all their stuff. I had met those guys probably maybe three to 4 years ago at GABF.
That's where I met
in Denver
too. At that sour night, that Bring the Funk night or whatever. Remember, there was some night next to EBF with all the sour.
Maybe?
What the Funk?
Yeah, there was that. I didn't actually go to that. We had just like ended up going to their tap room.
Oh, right.
And so this was like before they started making wild beers. You know, it's just like their little tap room area. Mm-hmm. But super, super nice folks. They just got slammed the whole week, but just like had the best attitudes. Were like super nice to everybody in the beer industry. And so, you know, when I saw they were here, I was like, oh, great. And I'd heard about like the Acid Temple that they were making, you know, wild beers now. And I kind of just like went through their whole lineup and it was just blown
away.
The
cherry one was super good.
The
right?
cherry, and I don't usually like dark sours, and I don't usually like sours with cherries in them. but it just, you know, it was fabulous. I think the acidity was on point.
It wasn't
the malt profile was great.
Yeah.
The cherries were definitely there, but it wasn't just like straight cherry beer. I think the one that really blew my mind was they have like a, I think it's just some sort of a blonde sour with
like a
grape.
Dry hop sour.
It was one with, it had grape. I don't know what the hell the word was, but it's basically like the spent. No, so it's like. After they get the must, so after they pull the juices, they get just like the spent, you know, skins and like seeds and stems
it's
and
like
stuff
like that.
Like
the stuff you make grappa with.
Actually, that's not true.
No, okay.
In Italy, there's two words for that. In America, we call it all grappa. Grappa is second run juice. What he's talking about is pumice.
Yeah,
and
that's what it was called.
When you make it from pumice, the Italians have a different word for what that is.
Okay, we're learning today.
Yeah, you know, I drink a lot, but when you extract the last sugars from pumice and distill that, there it's a different thing than grappa. So, when you're making wine, basically you just, you know, when you eat a grape, there's basically the space around that capsule where the seeds are. When you're making fine wine, you're just trying to catch that juice, right? That's first run juice. When you're done with that and then you squeeze that second thing, that's what grappa's made from.
All right.
And then after that, there's this other
third thing
made from that.
Yeah. And so basically, so it was just like a blonde beer with this grape, however
Ooh,
you
Ooh, we're drinking an IPA.
It. Oh, yeah.
There's an IPA.
But it was fabulous. I thought it was like you got a little bit of oak, a lot of tannins from those grapes. It was just something that was, you know, I've always loved very like tannin heavy. You know, wild beers, and I think I was really blown away by that. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. I think was True last night, but I was also trying to go a little easy.
Wow, so we'll tried, and then the worst human in the world, Matt Monahan, just fucking shanghaied me. I could have woken up in Singapore this morning, and I'd have been like, of course.
Yeah. did anyone try the Juniper Pilsner from Shorts Brewing?
Not
I
yet.
I did not, no.
The,
it's
Spruce Tip,
or
right?
Spruce,
yeah.
Spruce
Juniper, Pilsner?
Yeah they
cool.
do Spruce Tip Pilsner.
It's
I had it at JBF years ago. It's fabulous. It's real weird.
Well, yeah,
it's just like the rest of their beers, but they're always super on point.
Who made
you know?
It?
Shorts.
Shorts, right?
In Michigan.
Yeah, I'll definitely
try that. This is the show that we give our love to Michigan, apparently, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess, man.
We
should have been a Michigander.
God, but Michigan doesn't get credit.
Well, we, outside like, of the Midwest, right?
Like, no, but when you talk to beer people, like your other show, so Justin does two shows. The other one, Beer Sessions with Jimmy. Michigan comes up a lot on that show, too.
Yeah,
when I'm
Michigan's
to
a very
like,
important
Michigan's
beer
clearly
state,
a very important beer state. And, and when I list states, it's never on my list. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of very good breweries in Michigan, but I think there's also, like, some super, super top-tier highly, highly consistent breweries. You know, yeah. Like you look at like, you know, New Holland, Bell's, mm-hmm. Founders, Jolly Pumpkin. You know, there's like all these breweries that are just like,
and they've been around for,
and they're all been around. Yeah, they're and all I think of a generation. They yeah. clearly, yeah. you know what I mean? I guess they're and just so, not a new beer set. I guess that's what I mean. What
but
I'm
even listening. There's a lot of really cool places popping up. There's kind of like a little wine country in Michigan. Kind of in like vacation land from Chicago that's like 2 to 3 hours away. But so there's all these wineries and then there's all these other breweries popping up.
There's a lot of new ones in Detroit, I think, actually.
Yeah, Detroit's kind of blowing up too.
That guy that does the, what is it called? The Funk Factory?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's Madison, Wisconsin. Okay, Funk Factory.
God damn it,
Gizzeria.
Just facts.
I'll leave.
Just
now.
Facts,
I'll
journalist. All right, let's talk about beer too. It's one of those IPAs. It's got that yeast bite back of the tongue, so I'm betting if I poured this into a clear glass, I would see cloudiness.
You can actually see right into the black glass that it's fucking cloudy. Yeah.
I thought that was head. Is it that cloudy?
It's that cloudy, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of yeast and suspension on this one.
Haze for days.
All of its bitterness is yeast bitterness. So I feel like if there was a 60-minute hop, it was just because somebody couldn't break the habit.
you think this is double dry hopped? Or?
I would guess triple. But it's one of those. It's pretty. It's fun. It's doing all the hop aromatics. It smells like a bag of weed.
Yeah.
In the mouth, it feels very soft with that yeast bite on the back of the tongue. I guess the problem is it's not. It tastes like one of those beers. Do you know what I mean? Like it's definitely a good version of it. It's not a bad version of it, but it's one of those beers, right? Does that make sense? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a little, you know, appearance aside, it's a little less.
How are you seeing it?
Well, assuming that it looks the way
we
think
it looks.
I swear
to you, it's got to be yellow-white.
I think it's less in the vein of the New England style to my taste.
Because there's some real greenness on the end.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely like, you know, Simcoe Citra.
And it hangs out for a while, too, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sticks around for sure, but yeah, I'm bringing this to a line, right? That's where this beer goes. You're gonna wait on line for a different beer. You bring this beer to wait on that line. That's
this is a chair.
Yeah, this
chair
is,
beer.
Yeah,
chair.
I'm drinking this a with my 10 favorite chair. Camping chairs.
Chair beer.
So when I'm the guy who's actually waiting on line instead of just having my chair wait for me, I'm gonna drink this with those other chairs.
Actually, I would probably disagree about
you wouldn't bring this to line?
Well,
this is a line beer.
I don't wait in lines. I don't, yeah.
We should have probably told him in advance, you don't disagree with Augie on the show. You can't
do
that.
No, that's unacceptable.
All right.
That's
you dead to me. Off.
That's it. Get out. Anyway, no, go on. I'm
no,
sorry.
Go ahead.
But I feel like one of the reasons why I really like this beer is I feel like, you know, a lot of these like New England IPAs nowadays are just like straight yeast bite. They're so unbelievably filling. It's like I can't, you know, no matter how good they are, I think I can't get through like a full pint, much less have 2 to 3 of them. And I think that what I really like about this brewery is that like I don't think it has that kind of like yeast heaviness. Yeah. And I think it's got some super, super firm bitterness, but I don't think that it's like, to me, compared to like a lot of other New England IPAs, it's not like a super like yeast bite.
I get it. But you do get the bite I'm talking about, though, right?
Because
I had was a yeast line dead down the center of the throat part of the tongue. Like, just there's your yeast. I don't want to be mean to it. I'm just, you know what I mean?
No,
I like it. I would definitely enjoy drinking this. But what's funny, what I liked about what you said was you called it filling.
Not too filling.
No, but what? Tastes great. but what I'm saying is I give up on these beers once I've figured them out. So I like a little more hop complexity. I don't like it to just be showy that this is what this hop does.
Yeah.
But I like that you said it's filling because there's a lot of body to this beer. Like there's clearly a ton of some kind of protein in there, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of body
can see
in this
it in
beer.
Glass, but
can somebody get me a clear glass? Can you pour this in a clear glass so I can see?
You got
see
one
it?
Right here.
But it's full of water.
No.
Hold on, I'll drink it. Oh, it's a can beer?
There's only
yeah. Is it stickered? There's a long line for this stickered? Beer.
It might be.
It sure shit is stickered.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, I'd happily have a 4-pack of this and share it with guys online. That's where I'm drinking this beer. What about you?
I'm going to say I'll still be in a folding chair. But I think this is maybe
does it fold in the middle or from all four corners?
I don't know. I'm ignoring that question. This is maybe a beer I throw in my backpack and take camping. And I'm sitting outside, somewhere awesome, perfect day, and just appreciating this, you know, with some friends.
Yeah, what might be genius about that is, like you were talking about, it being filling and doing one. If you're carrying them in, you don't want to carry 80.
Exactly.
So a beer that does it in one or two is probably a good thing for that.
So that's right that's on. My...
I like it. Well done. You did talk about it, Lee. What do you think of it?
I think it's great. It's, you know, it's one of those beers that we were talking about in the last show that is...
The good ones.
The good ones,
it's
yeah.
The good ones.
Yeah, and I know what it is, so I'm kind of...
Oh, well, then,
buy it,
then stop.
It's made yeah. across the street. It's a
Trillium. Oh, is it a Trillium?
It's
right
a Trillium beer. Yeah.
You're right on.
Vicinity.
Yeah, see, he does this better than everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
The problem is, and this has got to be annoying to him, it's vicinity. And what's funny is we're in the vicinity.
We are.
We're right here in the vicinity.
I think it has something to do with Road 34 judging by the oysters on
yeah, I was going to say, is this meant to be
I was going to look it up.
Oyster IPA instead of an oyster stout
so.
Or something?
I want to say, no? So I was there yesterday, so that's when I got the can.
Across the street
the can
or the
has,
other one?
No, this was at Canton.
Yeah, Canton.
The can has oysters on it, which is why we're.
Yeah, he was saying, I think that they brewed it for Row 34. Yeah.
Okay.
For some anniversary party and then liked it so much, it became kind of a.
They kept making it.
A regular.
Oh, so that's the vicinity joke. So for those of you that aren't sitting looking at Trillium, the first Trillium is next door to this restaurant, Row 34. So vicinity would make that name make sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what hops he uses on this one?
I believe he said Galaxy and Citra.
Yeah, so that totally but makes sense
makes
to me. Perfect.
Sense.
Yeah, like I said, the good ones are fun to drink.
Yeah.
But you still don't need three of them. You know what I mean?
See, and I don't know though. See, I feel well. It's a double IPA, which I can't usually do a
sure,
whole lot
yeah.
to begin with. But I feel like that was something that like I really really liked about their beers is I think that they're like they've found this great balance of like having that. You know, I think there's kind of right now there's a big. Not quite a battle, but there's, you know, you've got things like boat beer or like that are just trying to be super great, you know, a range of dynamic flavors and something that you should go home, drink a 4-pack, drink all of it in one sitting kind right. of a thing.
Session.
And then there's like other pale ales even that are coming out that are new that are just like, you know, got that major yeast bite, super filling. Loaded with a shit ton of hops, and it's great for one or splitting one, but there's you would puke if you have two or three in a row.
No, you could definitely drink three of these.
And I think
sure.
that's the thing that like has been a lot different from with Trillium that I noticed as opposed to some of the other ones that I've had. It's just like
drinkability.
You know, when I was there, I was having I had like probably two or three of their different IPAs, and it was just like I could drink this all day. I think it was something closer to like Daisy Cutter,
right?
You know, where it was just like this is something that I could continually come back to and have a constant beer as opposed to just like trade for it, drink it once, and be like, that was great, but that was intense.
Oh yeah, no. To be fair, or if I led you to believe I only wanted one can, what I mean is I only want one can at a time. Yeah. I would definitely like to have this beer around. I just wouldn't drink seven.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to drink more than one can at a time.
Is it?
Oh, no,
let
no,
me
not
show,
at
Let
all.
Me show you yeah. a couple tricks, writer.
So I looked this beer up on Beer Advocate, and it's got a score of 97.
Uh-huh.
But it lists the malts and the hops, and it's Galaxy and Citra, like you said. But the malt, it says Pilsner, Flaked Wheat, Dextrin, Dextrose, and C15. What the fuck is C15?
Just it's a 15. It's a very light
it's like a
malt.
Light kind of toasted
okay.
malt.
Like 15 is how dark it is.
Okay.
You can go to 15, 20, 30, 60, 90. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they...
And the higher number is the darker rose.
Yeah.
So what it's is very sugar? Light. It's
what,
a light
what is
caramel.
Dextrine and dextrose is...
It's sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Okay.
Dextrose is table sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dextrine is an extraction.
And you just add that right into the...
Yeah, you just cook it. It's, to be fair, or to talk to that, it's not... It's not as dry as I thought. If you told me you dextrose this beer, I would expect it to be drier than it is.
That mouthfeel is very interesting for
a dextrose beer. So dextrose is a very metabolizable sugar. Mm-hmm. When you put dextrose in beer, you're basically just moving the ABV up.
Yeah.
But part of that is that it's going to dry out. It'll leave some table sugar behind flavor-wise, but it's very fermentable. It goes very quickly. What it does is take other sugars out with
you.
When, mm-hmm. when you make a sugar beer, you're making a high ABV dry beer. Yeah. And that beer was not very dry, right? It was. We talked about how full it was in the mouth.
Yeah.
That's neat. No, he's a great brewer. See, the thing is, it's funny. Last year we had him on the show. We went across the street with him after, and I must have drank 97 Saisons. he's also, to be fair, he makes some of the greatest IPAs in the world, so I don't want to discount that. But he's a Saison ninja, man.
When you're in his house, I would love to try some of his Saisons.
When you're in his house,
didn't have a chance to.
Go across the street. I'll take you across the street when we're done. Just walk in the back. They're nice to brewers. His Saisons are great.
The line
is
forming as we speak. The line is forming at 8:45.
We can see it from there.
But I was totally right with this is a live beer. You show up on a live with this beer, you're the coolest guy.
Totally.
You don't even need a good chair. You don't need the cover. all right. We have a letter we should read.
Yeah, we do.
Who's it from?
It is from Victor Lowe.
Hi, Victor Lowe.
Sorry.
Victor L?
I think we made a decision at some point not to reveal full names.
I think that's just me being an old man who doesn't want all my shit on the internet. Like, I'm sure Victor's okay with it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Or no, he refers
remember that
to
time you put my
Vila.
Email on the show and I lost my mind?
So he's got two questions, and I think
let's start
Lee
with question
and
two.
Augie can both address these. Start with question two.
I will refrain from addressing any
yes,
questions.
Whatever. Even if you have a great idea, you keep it to yourself, Ben.
All right,
you write about it.
Question two is, this is going to come off as blasphemy, but have you guys ever considered doing what enophiles do at tastings and utilize a spittoon?
Oh, all the time.
For the days where you do back-to-back interviews. Have we?
Oh, no, not on the show. No, this show is only fun when we're wasted. This show is about drinking and talking.
So Victor, we thought about that, but we decided it was a bad idea.
No, it's no fun. We're going to do three today. The third one's going to be amazing.
At least.
Wow.
But,
all right, that was the second question. The first
one to be fair, but I do use a spittoon at work. I'm sure you do too, right? When I'm tasting beers for QA, QC, all that, but you got to spit. You'd be wasted. But
yeah,
there's a big difference.
You're probably smarter than I am. I don't, and I usually wind up kind of wasted by 11 o'clock. And
you should make that beer.
My life.
Yeah, that
but,
was
but
good.
But to be fair, I believe there's a different and a more accurate tasting when you spit. I know this is a wine thing.
It helps
I know this is a wine thing, but when you expel beer from your mouth, when you expel liquid from your mouth, you're oxygenating it, moving it into the retronasal cavity, and you're catching stuff that you would catch at the bottom of a can instead of the top. So I actually believe there's a benefit to spitting when you taste to some degree. And you also sip. But like I said, if we're fine-tuning a beer and I need to know what it's going to do and I drink a whole pint of... So we just did Super Ego. Like when we were dialing Super Ego in, that's a 13% beer. I need to know what the pint's going to do. I need to taste it at different temperatures. I drink that whole pint. We're not tasting anything else that day. You know, just because you killed yourself. But yeah, I spit when I'm tasting... For QAQC. But when we're doing shit like this, let's face it, there's that nice warm giddiness that comes with drinking and talking. That's why we do it. You don't want to take that out. Yeah.
That's
what's
like
question
what
one?
You founded the show around that idea. Well,
To be fair, I'm sure he wrote this after the Jesse episode.
Yeah, he
Justin
did.
Keeps telling me I did a show with Jesse. I don't remember it.
And it was probably Justin who keeps telling you did a show with Jesse.
God damn it. Brendan.
So for the first question is, collaborations between breweries are becoming more and more commonplace. And my initial impression is that these are positive projects. What comments do you have on the challenges associated with the collaboration? Logistics, timelines, preferences, egos.
Why did you emphasize the last
I don't know.
Word.
He just has a beer called Super Ego. So.
And a beer called Ego.
And Ego, yeah. And
Egoipa. So. Egoipa. You got to say it right. Egoipa.
So what are the challenges for collaborations? Lee, I'm sure you can speak to this too.
So honestly, we've started to do a little bit more recently, but there was like a long time where we just like, not as an out and out rule, but just didn't do collaborations just because we were so busy. So I think that's one big factor that goes
just
into
don't
it
do them.
Is just like, yeah. You know, we literally couldn't find time for anyone to, you know, our production schedule is so tight right now. We're running, you know, 7 days a week.
Didn't you do one with Wiseacre recently?
We did. So yeah. Recently we've kind of been able to like, we're finally
wise
kind
half.
Of getting into a, half
wise. That's me.
Half wise.
That's me. Half wise.
we're getting into a little bit of a better, better spot for staffing. And so we can start doing more and more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's something that holds us back is we don't have a tank. Like when you collaborate, you want to do a brew with them and a brew with you, even if it's like years apart. We don't have a tank. So every time somebody comes to me and says, let's brew a beer, I'm like, okay, but we have to do it at your place. And that's that. And but to be
fair, your place or mine, always going to be your place.
It's always going to be your place. And the other thing is, I feel like I collaborate with my own brewers, right? Like I conceive a beer, I write a base recipe, I go to my brewers, they tell me what they like and don't like about my recipe. We start fucking around with it. I change it. I'm always trying to do the things that aren't the brewing part, right? Like sous viding ingredients to add to a beer later or whatever. And that's my part of the conception. I'm trying to work out that part of brewing, and I let my brewers do the brewing. So it's always fun for me to collaborate with a brewer, right? But when me and an owner, when another Augie get together, we just make up beers that could never happen, and then we sober up and it stops. So most of the interesting beers I really want to make that when I have a tank is always when I'm with a brewing brewer and I'm like, what if we did this? What if we did this? And that's where it gets interesting. The other thing is, and it's funny. So JC, if I was going to make a beer with JC, I'd want to make, you know, an Augie Carton version of a Trillium IPA. And I don't know what he would want to make with me, but hopefully like a Saison or something, because I think he's genius at those. But most of the people that approach me to do it are like, and then we can make... And then we can add Citra. And I'm like, that's not what I do, and that's not what I want to do. Like, I want to do something nobody's ever done before if we're going to team up. Like, and that's, you know, a lot of collabs are IPAs, and we don't need to make an IPA together, you and me.
I think that it's also just one of those things, too, where, you know, I think sometimes collaborations nowadays are done more as, like, a marketing thing, which it's great, you know. We do a collaboration with Other Half. You know, they
do you only
do
collaborations with breweries who have half of your name in the?
It kind of looks like it, or people who have worked for our brewery before.
Can we please make a tired head?
But if you become half carton, then we could definitely do a collaboration.
I am only
but
half
but
like I said, if I got together with you guys, the world like so we got together with Green Flesh and we made a Bock. The whole world is like, why didn't these guys make an IPA? They're IPA brewers. Because we both wanted an excuse to do something different. Like, if I got together with you right now, it would have to be a gin barrel beer. I don't know what we would do with it, but it would have to be, right?
Totally.
Daisy Cutter and Boat exist. We've done that. Fuck those beers. Let's go do something new. And I feel like that perturbs some people who just wanted to do some marketing. But there's also a part I don't want to write off, because I brew with Other Half because I want an excuse to drink with Matt and Sam. And we're also busy. Unless you arrange a day on the brew schedule, you're not going to find 6 hours together, right?
And
you know what I mean? That's part of it.
That's the super... To me, that's always one thing that, like, is the most important part of collaborations is, like, do you actually enjoy the people you're collaborating with? Right. Or is it, like, great, let's make this super hyped up, like, you know, triple IPA with coriander and lime peel and eight different citrus fruits and... You know, and it's just kind of like, and then you show up together and then just kind of like, oh, say, hey, yeah, sure, whatever. And then just like kind of get drunk and stumble away and leave. Or is it more of like you guys are actually hanging out, you get to learn from them, they get to learn from you. And it's actually It's an excuse to be able to hang out with your buddies.
Yeah, and that's the answer to the ego part of the question.
Yeah.
I would, if I considered somebody to have an ego, we never would have gone into the brew house together, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, we all have egos. I'm not saying you don't, but if it's not a dude, you have fun drinking. Like, all of the collaborations I've done and all the collaborations I've talked about doing are all born over drinking together and having a good idea and let's figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
So there's no ego that's going to come onto the brew deck at that point, right? Like, yeah. Like you've done this together a couple beers in. So I don't think that's... I think if there was that issue, you never would have gotten to the point where you talked about collaborating in the first place.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's just like... It's similar to, you know, we kind of have like an unstated policy at work for like hiring people of like, we're only going to hire people that we want to hang out with after work.
Yeah.
Because that's like, we're literally going to be working next to each other all day, every day. You know, if this person's...
Sweating.
Yeah.
Sweating.
So it's like, if this person's
brewery,
great.
It's a hot fucking brewery. They sweat in that brewery. Yeah. In
the coldest, I have not been.
In the coldest rough. City in the world. It's the hottest place I've ever been.
It's
Do you guys have more than one brewery at this point?
We do now.
Okay. So, I mean the original brewery.
Surprisingly.
The one with the decks. I love that brewery.
Well, the new brewery is surprisingly even hotter.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. It's like.
Is there like a super volcano underneath Chicago?
I have no idea. But I was always like, when we started this new brewery, I was like, oh man, I'm going to escape the heat. But the thing was like, is at Lincoln, we had two bay doors. And so we would just open both of them up and you get a breeze. At our
Not
new produc-
the bay I was there.
Our new production facility, there is no breeze. And so you're just like, just dying.
It was hot. So Lincoln is the one I've been to.
Correct.
Lincoln is a hot, hot room.
And that's where you have the shop and the restaurant.
So that's where our shop is, our tap room and our restaurant. And then, so we still have that 15-barrel brew house that we had originally bought from Ska. And so that's basically kind of
Ska
like our...
Ring in Colorado.
In Durango, nice. Yeah. And so, you know, so that's kind of our somewhat like pilot system. It's basically we've got kind of like a larger, somewhat glorified brew pub set up there.
Yeah.
What's the neighborhood that the other one is?
It's in Bowmanville. So it's a little bit of a kind of sleepier part of town. Great neighborhood. It's kind of right next to Andersonville. But it was a 80,000 square foot facility.
These names mean nothing.
Yeah.
But you all have plans to add a restaurant to the new place too, right?
We do. We do. So we're actually just starting up. So we've got an in-house carpenter. So he's actually working on the tap room, kind of getting the guts worked out for that. So I think hopefully we're shooting for by like maybe end of summer.
So the hot
fall.
Time of year.
So yeah. It'll be hot.
Make that carpenter work right through the summer.
That's so half acre. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, man.
Of course.
We got to wrap this up. Who wrote us? Who wrote that letter?
Victor Lowe.
Thanks, Victor.
Thanks, Victor.
So if somebody else wants to write us like Victor did, they would do that how?
On an email to stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
Right on. And if they wanted to.
All the others.
Here's the thing, thieves. Let's do the reminder we should do where you're supposed to subscribe, give us 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. You haven't said that.
Talk about how sexy Justin is in the notes. Has it been 30 episodes? I'm the worst, Burr. I suck at podcasting. Anyway, so do all that shit. Make your friends listen. Make us more
subscribe.
Do the subscribing thing. Make all that happen. But get on our Facebook page and send us shit. And I like when people write funny shit.
You
on
do.
Our Facebook
I get
page.
Notifications.
It makes me very happy.
I'm like,
and not enough people are doing shit. Like draw what you think Brian Cast looks like and put it on the fucking Facebook page. Give us your best Justin Brendan memes. I want them all.
No one knows who Brendan is. Who is Brendan?
It's your secret name.
He's one of your brewers. You had dinner with him last night.
but yeah, so interact with us. I'm bored. Write us shit.
Mail your chicken bones to P.O. Box.
Jersey City, New Jersey.
All right, y'all.
Care of.
Well, thank you. And get at us. Let us know what's up.